being up here, so this is kind of new for me. But here we are. As Pastor called last night and then again this morning, I had to think that, well, Lord, thank you for preparing me for this moment. One of the things that I've been doing in my retirement is a lot of reading, and as I read at times, God, through the Holy Spirit, begins to work in my mind and my heart, and there are things that he has said to write down. So this morning, I'm sharing with you one of the bits and pieces that God began to work at some point in time over the last 6 months or year that I want to share with you this morning, and I think is very relevant to who we are and where we are in terms of life. Barth asked me if there was a title to my message this morning, and I said, train. So there it is. There's the train. Train, in many words, have two, at least, possible meanings. Train as a noun is what we see on the screen. That's a train. And here in Abilene, we have trains. We have the crossing down here south of town that probably all of us at some point have had to sit and wait for a train to cross. Anywhere from 3 minutes to 30 minutes. And we think, oh, that train, let's get it out of here. Or the old locomotive that runs out of old Abilene Town and runs to Enterprise, and our granddaughter got to ride once, and she forgot, and she'd really like to ride again with Grandma. And so, there's that train. The other reality is that in the news over the last 6 months in particular, trains have gotten a lot of television time. I think, first of all, was the derailment in Ohio, where there was this spillage and everybody was up in arms about the train that derailed and the problems that it created. And since that time, I have noticed that anytime there's a derailment, it seems like the news picks up on that with the question of, now, is this going to be a problem or not? And so it has become a news item. And that's train as a noun. Train is also used as a verb. And as a verb, train means to educate or to help someone learn something, to train a person. So we have training for jobs. We have a visitor with us today who is beginning his first year at Hope High School. He's a teacher. He's a person that trains. And he talked to us just a little bit about what he teaches. And he's works in the trades. And so he's training people in woodworking, he's training people in metalworking, etc., etc. All of us, no matter what job we may have had in the past or are doing now, we have received training in order to be able to do that job, whatever that job is. And we learn about that. This morning, I want to move into this place of thinking about train in the Bible. There are lots of places where train is used as a noun in the Bible. Okay? I don't know if you've thought of that, but there are. The Bible talks about the train of animals that moved through the desert. These people came in a train of animals. We think of the train like this. Well, in the Bible, it talks about the train of camels and donkeys and people that moved through the desert. It talks about train in the sense that, and this is something that we can relate to, particularly you ladies who have had weddings and have been married, there's a train that follows your gown or whatever. It's a train, and that's used as a noun. In the Bible, it talks about that in relationship to the priestly train that the garments they wore had a train that followed them. And so in the Bible, we see train used as a noun. It's also used as a verb. And that's primarily what we want to look at today. Train as a verb and as it's used in the Bible. I'm picking up on two passages that I'm going to read this morning. One from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. The Old Testament passage is from Daniel. Daniel chapter 1 verses 3 to 7. And we are going to be looking at that initially, and then we're going to be looking at a passage from Colossians. So I want to read from Daniel verses 3 to 7 of chapter 1. And this is a very familiar passage, I think, to most of us. But listen as I read. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Then the king commanded Asaphaz, the chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance, and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace, and to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Michael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them new names. Daniel he called Belshazzar, Hananiah he called Shadrach, and Michael he called Meshach, and Azariah he called Abednego. So this is a familiar story to us in many ways, a familiar account. As we think of train, though, and training, as I looked at this and came to this as I was studying and have been thinking about this, training is so important in our lives. It's essential in our lives. I thought it was interesting and so big and important an issue that God included it here in this situation in which Judah was conquered and the conquering king brought these individuals from Judah whom he had conquered, were now going to be his slaves or his people, and he brought these educated persons into his court. Some of those were nobility, it said, but some of them were young people who were good-looking and had intelligence. And what he did was this. He said, I am going to train you in our language, for one thing, so that you can communicate, so that you can talk back and forth, and so that you can be helpful. And he said, I'm going to train you for 3 years. Now, I think that's kind of interesting because my Master of Divinity degree was a 3-year program. So the church has kind of picked up the importance, I think, of this block of time that it takes to train a minister. Now, one of the things that Margaret and I bemoan a bit in relationship to the trend and the direction that the church has taken, and I talk about the church overall, is that there are many now who think they don't need seminary training, don't need that education. Well, that's kind of one of our things that we just think shouldn't be that way, because we think that's important. And in this passage, we see how the king thought it important to give these people this 3-year training. So he brings these folks in, and he's going to train them to be a part of the government, part of the country in which they're now living. Now, another thing that I think is interesting to see in this is that with that plan, the king says, now I want all of these people who are in this training to receive the same diet that I get. Interesting. So the king believes that his diet, which is plush and lush and whatever, you know, he thinks this is the very best thing for anybody. He is giving that to all of these people that he wants to train. Now, I think this is important, folks. Okay, how do we best learn? In what context do we best learn? Well, we learn best when we're feeling good, don't we? If I feel good, my mind doesn't wander to, Pizza Hut or, some steakhouse, but my mind can be focused. So the king was a smart guy. He was putting all of these people in a place where they had the best potential to learn, train, as a verb in the Bible. Throughout the Old Testament, we see various places where this happens. Now, in relationship to this particular story, we did not read, but we know how these individuals, Daniel and the other individuals, responded to what the king suggested, which they responded this way. They said, we have always eaten these things. God has always directed us to eat this way. And so, thank you, King, for, what you're offering us, but we really don't think that's going to be best for us. And so they asked the king if he would allow them to have their own diet. And of course, we know that the king did that. And as we read through the scripture, find out that actually these individuals, learned better and faster and were smarter and had more wisdom than anyone else who was a part of the king's seminary or part of the king's graduate school, whatever we want to call it. And so that's a separate part that takes us to the place where we understand that God has things he wants us to learn, and God has means and ways that may be different than the world's ways in relationship to learning and education and so forth. So, that's our Old Testament passage. Training is important. It's critical. It's something that is needed everywhere. Okay, now I want to go to Colossians chapter 3 and read verses 1 through 17. Colossians chapter 3, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 17. Listen here as Paul speaks and gives direction. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ is your life appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Jesus Christ. So, train. We all have to choose our direction in life. You all have chosen to be here today. In your choosing, you are setting a direction toward something and away from something else. We choose our direction of travel. The train gets on the tracks, and it's a given direction that it goes. It follows the tracks. For those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, who believe that God is creator and Lord of all that is, we have chosen to follow after him. Now, this requires training. It requires us to be trained. It requires us to learn something new and different from what we have known and done in the past. So this passage in Colossians with Paul talks about this whole reality of putting off, of giving up something that is in the past, something that is old, something that is not right with our previous training. So, what have you learned in your previous training? For our school teacher here, there may be someone who's learned something about welding that just isn't right. And he's going to have to retrain them. They're going to need to learn a new way. For an athlete, you know, I was a basketball player. When I learned to shoot, I just got it up there any way I could. At one point, my parents were willing to send me to a basketball camp, and I learned the right way to shoot the ball. Elbow in, wrist back, follow through. And I needed to retrain myself in how I shot the basketball. And guess what? I became a better shooter as a result. So God's talking to us, Paul's talking to us here about the reality that we have to put off those old things that we learned before we were in Christ, those old things that were of the world and were not beneficial to our living, those things like being angry with someone and hauling off and slugging them, or hauling off and spouting all kinds of dirt. God says, no, that was the old way. That was the old way, Dale. You need to be retrained. And guess what? Even me on the basketball court had to retrain myself. I was a Christian in high school. I was a young Christian, a teenager. But on the basketball court, boy, I used my mouth in ways I shouldn't have. There were words that I used that I shouldn't have. I moved from high school to a Christian college, and on the basketball court, this is a Christian college. I've got to change my language. And I had to retrain my mind. I had to retrain my language. I had to learn a new way of responding when something happened. Or it's like the carpenter who's grown up with an old carpenter who wasn't a Christian, hit my thumb, whoa, the air gets blue. I've learned that when I hit my thumb, I say, wow, that hurt. You see, God talks to us in Scripture about training, about being trained, about retraining, about putting off that old stuff. And as I read through that passage in Colossians, there was a whole lot of garbage there that God says, you need to put this off. You need to get rid of it. You need to not do it anymore. And he said, here are some things you do need to do. Folks, train as a verb. Train as a verb is so important for us. God wants us to be trained in righteousness. God wants us to put off the old and put on the new. God wants us to live differently than we did before. Folks, what is it that people who live with you and around you, what is it that they see and hear from your life? We need to think about that. We need to say, who am I? Am I a person who loves Jesus? If I am, I'm moving out of high school where everybody else did it and I was okay doing it, but really not okay. And I'm moving into a new place of life and living where I want to do it differently. It doesn't just happen, folks. We have to retrain. We have to relearn. We have to move forward toward what God wants in our lives. One of the things that we see in this passage that Paul talks about is that it's a collaborative kind of process. Now, I've been watching some of the, you know, the preseason football. As some of you know, I'm a diehard football fan. I always wanted to play football. My dad wouldn't let me. He said I was too small. He only wanted me to play basketball. So that's what I did. And it was okay. But I always wanted to be a football player. One of the things the commentators yesterday on two different games, as I watched part of those games, talked about was this. They talked about the players working in a collaborative kind of way. Okay, it's not a word you hear very often, is it? To collaborate means what? It means to share your knowledge so that you get better. You bring your knowledge together. So these older quarterbacks, these experienced quarterbacks, were talking about the way that they helped the younger, newer quarterbacks. The other players, the older players in the league, were talking about how they helped these rookies begin to learn. And so they talked about collaboration. Christians, family, this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to collaborate. He wants us to share in each other's lives, to help train each other in this process of living like God wants us to live. So train as an educator, train as a verb. Why is this so important? I want to come back to the train as a noun that you see on the screen. We've had these derailments. And what happens with the derailments? There's disaster, isn't there? Yeah, it's a mess. It's a huge mess. People are killed, etc., etc., etc. It's just a pure mess. Folks, if we do not take care of our spiritual lives on a daily basis, there's going to be derailments happen. There's going to be bad stuff happen in our lives. A lot of people say, well, why did God let that happen? Probably nearly 100% of the time, it's a result of a derailment in someone's life where they have chosen to live out that old character that was before Christ rather than live out that new character that is in Christ. Folks, we need to see our Christian life as a noun, as a train that's moving down the tracks. And we need to commit ourselves to maintenance. Maintenance, that's why you're here. You're here because you believe that. You're here because you believe it, that your life needs that maintenance. But we need to make sure that we're looking to the right trainer. Is Jesus Christ your trainer? Is the Word of God that which you look at? Do you go to the Word of God to find your training? We're going to close today with the song, Holy, Holy, Holy. I chose that because that's what God wants for us. That's what God desires for our lives, that we live holy lives. In order for us to do that, we need to train ourselves in what God teaches us in the Scriptures so that we can be a noun, Christian noun, that's going through life and not derailing. But we're going through life with the train up, the whistle blowing, and people seeing that God is true and God is alive. I'd ask that you join me now as we stand and sing, Holy, Holy, Holy.